The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride,
she's trying to hide it. I'm cool. You're in the holiday spirit, huh, big guy?
You like my hat?
I do. Was that a present from someone? How long? Because yeah, I've never seen you wear this hat before.
Probably my mother-in-law. Does it go?
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was all red. Today I look like a big blueberry.
Yep.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? I love people. You know I love people. I love people.
You hate people.
Josh.
You famously hate people.
You've said you hate people before.
I love them. I love them. I love them.
All right, put it on the poll. Does Chewy hate people or love people?
I love
Might be a record for the quickest poll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But can I just say this? Because I'm a man amongst the people. Go to the grocery store.
Sure.
Why does the fact that I wear shorts bother people so much?
I've seen it enough where it doesn't bother me. But if you see it, because there are very few people like you. Jason is someone who is like you, who wear the, you know, especially the athletic shorts at any time. You know, it doesn't matter what the temperature is. But those people, I would say, are in public few and far between. But I know Josh prefers shorts, but, you know, typically he's going to be wearing pants to the office. I'm guessing the second that Josh gets home after he lets Russell out, he's going to be changing into some shorts.
It doesn't bother me, but probably six jarring. But six comments at the grocery store yesterday.
When you get the snowstorm like we did yesterday, you know, and you see somebody walking around in shorts, it's just so far out of the norm, it's jarring. Like the first time you see it, it's, what's going on with this guy?
I had a job for 9 years where I wore shorts year round.
Yeah.
We wore it year round. I did not practice in sweats. I don't like practicing in sweats. So when we had that stretch.
What about your real clothes under your sweats?
Pardon?
About your real clothes under your sweats?
There's only one salad.
Sean Jones.
But, you know, like the Carolina week. NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
It was cold, right?
Oh, it was real cold.
Half the team was wearing shorts when we go down. Some guys, and that's, I don't know. The cold.
You have to recognize here, you guys are freaks. You guys are athletes.
Yeah. We're not all there.
You guys don't live normal lives, so you are used to this. I hold on to shorts very long. I'll wear shorts late into the season. It'll be touching 40s, and I'll be like, whatever. The shorts are right there. I'll just wear them. Right. But as soon as it gets cold and there's snow on the ground, these calves ain't breathing. They're going to be covered up, baby.
Let me ask you this, because this is probably the equivalent.
All right.
And it's kind of geared towards older people. If it's 98 degrees out, there are some old people that will not wear shorts.
Correct. There are people opposite of you, because they grew up in an era, so very much like you.
Yes.
You know, the way that, I don't say grew up, but when you were coming, you know, college into the pros, like you wore shorts all the time because you were an athlete. That's what you did. And that just kind of continued to carry over, especially older people. They grew up in an era. Like, did you ever watch the show Mad Men?
No.
They're always wearing suits. You know, they always got the jacket on. They always, you know, you're flying in an airplane. You got to have, you know, the Sunday best. There was an era where in this country, like, men just always wore suits. Doesn't matter how hot it was. Like, they wore suits, so they got used to wearing pants, even if they, you know, retired, moved down to Florida, where it's 105 degrees, still going to wear pants.
Still wear the gray khakis with the white sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, hey, why are you wearing pants? It's 98 degrees out.
Yeah, so the need, about the only way I think I would have said anything to you is if I was the cashier checking you out. If you went through a line where there was a cashier there, like maybe I say something just because you're making small talk, right? Like, oh, shorts, huh? It's snowing outside.
I bet kids going to school today,
mm-hmm.
not young kids, but juniors and seniors, I bet there's some wearing shorts.
Maybe.
I bet there are.
At that point, parents have a say.
Not really. Not when you're a senior.
Well, yeah. But like, it is... I don't want to say disconcerting. It is shocking to see inches of snow on the ground and you to walk in ankles exposed with some like eight inch inseams on.
Yeah, but your legs don't get cold.
Well, they do.
No, they don't.
Your legs don't get cold.
They don't. I think couple it with the fact that this time of year for nine years.
Wait.
What
do you mean your legs don't get cold?
They don't. They don't get cold.
Well, like I understand that maybe yours don't, but what?
I don't think legs get cold.
So when people get hypothermia or like frostbite on their toes and their legs, that's not real fake?
That's different.
Fake news?
That's different.
How is that different?
That's different.
Dig yourself out of this one. I could see those wheels cranking.
Think of it as plumbing. It's hard to get blood down to your toes, and that's why they get cold. Like, my toes are cold right now. I'm wearing sneakers. They're cold, but they're fine. But I grew up in an ice bath. This time of year, you're wrapped in ice because you're so damn sore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mental thing. But I'm freezing.
I was going to say, of course it's a mental thing. You moved to Florida, and now your blood's thin.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's why also I'm a little surprised you're wearing the shorts, because you've been soft all week, like shivering over there in the corner, trying to turn the heat up in the studio, even though we know that thing does not work.
You're right.
And because it's been 80 degrees in here. We've tried to turn it down. It doesn't work. And meanwhile, you're hoping you can get it to 80 degrees in here. Now.
I think I wore them today. Because I'm missing two pairs of sweats. So whatever kid stole them, put them back in my room.
There'll be no punishment if
they return. There'll be no punishment. And B, I think there's a little bit of spite involved.
From you?
Yeah. The fact that it bothers some people, that's why I do it.
Okay.
Because I'm a pot stir.
All right. So now you're upset by the attention, but now you also enjoy the attention because it pisses people off.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Is that normal?
I mean, I wouldn't say, I don't think it's abnormal. I don't know if it's normal.
Yeah, you're making a point.
Yeah.
But like, say it's January and it's 28 degrees out and I got to run to the gas station.
Yeah.
I'll just go in shorts just because I know I'll be outside for a grand total of like 30 seconds. But I'm not living my life. Like, if I'm going grocery shopping and I know I'm going to have to carry stuff, I'll probably put some sweats.
I'll give you an example of last night.
Okay.
Daughter needed a ride to the friend's house. Short little jaunt, probably 3 miles, right? So Angie's like, can you drive? It's snowing pretty bad and stuff. I'm like, yeah, take my truck. This is probably 4 inches. I went in flip-flops.
Yeah, but you probably park in the garage, don't you? So you're never outside.
Park in the garage?
Yeah, Chewy's.
No. I have a 3-car garage and there's 1 car in there. So no, I do not park in the garage.
I was about to say, Chewy hasn't parked it. I've known Chewy for over a decade at this point. I don't know if he's ever parked in the garage.
No. That's on me. I figured you had 3 to 4 spots, so you would have one.
Why I'm jealous of Joshy?
Why is that?
Because Mussolini is such a great nickname, and it would fit in my life perfectly, but I can't use it.
It's already taken. Yes. And the other one seemed maybe a little too offensive.
Correct. Yeah. The Mussolini
I was going to try and spell it backwards.
Mussolini kind of just hits the sweet spot.
While a bad person and a dictator, he does skate by historically in comparison to some of the other guys.
Can I take Stalin?
What about like Castro?
I like Stalin.
There's some bad tensions with Castro.
Yeah,
you know.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Are you sure?
He's been for a while.
Yeah. What, you think they cloned him?
Did they admit he's dead?
Yes.
Is his brother, what's his brother's name? Seinfeld? Dennis. Who's running the country down there?
That's a good question. I could Google it.
It might be Dennis.
Wouldn't you want to get along with us? Because we're pretty, not us, I'm saying our country's cool.
I mean, the tensions have thawed.
Can you fly down there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I think you need special.
Not any longer. There was a time in a previous era where they were trying to relieve tensions. This gets way too geopolitical for us to try and unpack it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just will say this. Baseball had a big part of that because for a little while they were trying to play baseball games there.
Also, America is one of, I think, two countries that still have a blockade.
To go to Cuba.
It's very clean.
What, you been there?
No, it's just people describe it who have been there. It's very clean. You know, maybe there's some things you wouldn't love about it, but
I mean, I like Cuban food.
They all, and all, because of those blockades, they all have like super cool old cars that they've maintained super well. So they have like cars from the 70s that are in mint condition because they don't have any other option. It's keep those things going.
Yeah, I'd love to go down there.
Meanwhile, it would be warm. You could wear your shorts down there. Ryan from Aquantico says this morning, shoveled in shorts and slides, no socks.
There, I love it. Love it. Way to go, warrior.
What do you mean slides? Aren't your toes getting wet?
There's a lot of snow out there.
I was gonna say, like, this was 5 inches.
This wasn't the type of snow where you just take like a broom and just brush it off.
No,
this is heavy, wet snow that I mean, slides is a step too far.
Yeah. I don't think so. I love it.
Wait, you're telling me you've shoveled in your flip-flops before?
Sure. And then the lady next door, I went down to the mail, which is, it's a little bit of a walk.
Yeah.
She was coming up and she offered to drive me to the garage. I'm like, no, I'm good. I got it.
Like you got lost or something?
Well, I mean,
I went down in bare feet.
Okay.
You were walking through the snow?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It brings me back.
Have they not salted your street? Because I feel like you get a piece of salt in the wrong spot. It's like stepping on...
They're probably sand neighborhood, aren't you?
No, we're... Actually, I did... Oh. I guess the plow truck guy was listening one time because I was like, enough with the sand. He like dumped a half a pound. Like, he just sit there and let the thing run right in front of my driveway.
You are the king of making people mad at you on this show. Somehow you say disparaging things about a random person.
I know.
And it gets back to them.
What do you think the neighbors think as they are driving by and they see you barefoot? They probably think you're losing it.
Well, by this point, you know most of your neighbors out there, don't you?
No, I never met them.
Other than the Blammer?
Yeah. 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 Guess who was wearing shorts yesterday?
Blammer?
Yes.
Well, I mean, come on.
So it's okay for him to do it, but not me?
He's a head case.
He got a little couple presents yesterday.
Did you over alcohol him again?
No.
Where you double dipped him with the Blammer. No. So for those who don't know, Blammer, first of all, is Chewy's neighbor, comes over on Thursdays, and Chewy likes to trick him by making a drink called the Blammer, which is just a Jameson margarita.
Yep.
Where Chewy will buy the margarita mix that already has the booze in it and then add the Jameson on top of it.
No, he had one and a half, but I brought, because he picked up a ton of packages for us. So I got him Jefferson bourbon. You ever have that?
I have not.
Supposed to be very good.
Okay.
And a couple of our tablets.
Some sweet treats.
You know? He was more excited about the tablets than he was about the bourbon.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess someday, yeah.
The Blammer is...
When you're older than Moses, I guess.
The Blammer is the type of guy who I don't think it matters to buy like expensive, nice... Like alcohol?
Yeah.
Like he'll be drinking the bottom shelf stuff just because that's what's always around. Like he doesn't have a discerning palate.
Does not bother him one bit.
No.
Right. Yeah. So if you get him something nice, he's kind of like, oh, well, thanks. But
as long as it's in the tall boy and not in the tumbler.
He's going to go home and mix it with Diet Coke probably.
There was a part of me that thought he wanted to trade the bourbon back to me for a couple more. Tablets. He would have done it. He's odd as a cod.
Frankie, texting in. 800-990-3776. Chewy might be onto something. Never complained about my legs being cold. # Chewy was right.
Yeah. Your legs don't get cold. Put it this way. Your legs don't get cold if you're not soft. Am I right? Your legs?
I think there is something to where I would imagine your legs have less nerve endings. But if you were to talk in terms of, like, literally, are they cold? Yes. You probably just don't feel it as much. Like, your hands. Mm-hmm. Imagine how cold your hands get.
But that's what he's talking about. Hands, feet. Yes, those are going to get your extremities.
Yes.
Furthest away from the heart, those are going to get, coldest.
So when you're sitting around in your house tonight, what are you wearing?
We don't really use the heat much because it's expensive and it's radiant heat and it dries out the entire place. So, like, I'll be wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants.
Yeah, sweatshirt, sweatpants.
No.
preferably I'd be in shorts, but then my legs get cold.
Oh, imagine that.
Too much bunge.
Ryan does say he is the one who shoveled in shorts and slides. He is shorts and t-shirt person 365, winter coat only to snowmobile and snow blow.
Yeah, I can't go up top with just a t-shirt. No.
Your internal organs.
Yeah.
But that's even before you moved to Florida.
Yes.
Like, especially post being in Florida. Yeah. That's...
Well, you guys saw me when the last couple shows, it was probably 62 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I had a sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
It's weird. 62 down there is a lot different than, like, 62 here. I guarantee you'd be in a lot less clothing.
Oh, 62, you can definitely go shorts.
Yeah.
Might pop the top.
Sun's out, guns out, you know? You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and you want to make sure that you are stocking up before the holidays hit. Because, look, you're going to be preparing big meals, you're going to be going, you've got a lot of family stuff to do, but then you're going to want to get home and still have something that tastes really good. That's where Palermo's comes in. With so many different brands, Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, and Screamin' Sicilian, you're going to find a flavor that fits your appetite. Whether you're looking for a thin crust, a thicker crust, or something in between, Palermo's has the answer. So how do they do this? Well, they've been doing this in Wisconsin for over 60 years at this point. So they know premium quality frozen pizza, and you shouldn't trust anybody else. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is a Dude Friday, and he is our friend. He is our teammate. But more importantly, he is our dude, Jason Wilde. Sup, bro, Chacho?
Hello, dude.
Hi, how are buddy.
You today?
How are you doing, bud? Easing by? Are you wearing shorts? Because Chewy apparently was getting side eyes from people as he was wearing shorts in the grocery store yesterday.
Do you get that, Jason? Oh. Do you get that?
Yeah, but I, unlike you, who's a Adonis, I just have to make a joke about, hey, fat is a good insulator, and then they laugh, and then they leave me alone.
Yeah, I could say the same thing. It is the holidays, and I can't work out. I blew my bursa sac out, Jason. Getting old.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope your sac heals quickly.
Yes. Jason, we brought it to your attention yesterday, the Enigma clip that then was making its rounds, and you had asked Matt LaFleur about it. How surprised were they? Because I know LaFleur said, you know, just very flat out that Ted Thompson had nothing to do with drafting Jordan Love. How surprised were the folks that you talked to that Enigma was edited the way it was to make it seem like he had been involved with that decision?
Yeah, and then, of course, then it leads to the conspiracy theorists, who, by the way, like, that, you know, that is what Aaron Rodgers has become, right? Like, the things he says now have a very conspiracy theorist slant. So now we're all conspiracy theorists-ing that, oh, well, he, you know, he was involved with the project, so he probably had them cut it that way just to prevent Goody from getting credit for drafting Jordan Love. My working theory, which again is just a theory, is that when you have people that aren't directly involved in the day-to-day operation of the team or didn't cover him every single day that he was here, not everyone knows everything, right? So if you're a documentarian, possibly you just get something wrong. And when you did the editing process, you messed that up. So, I mean, again, and I don't enjoy talking about this aspect of it, but all those guys knew it wasn't accurate because we know how rough a shape Ted was in at that point. Like, he passed away like 9 months later. And so, to me anyway, I just wanted to give LaFleur a chance to kind of shut down all the internet chatter and whatever else. And I don't know if that worked or not, or if it just created more, but he could not have been more clear. And again, I know there were multiple people in there while he was being interviewed. And as one of them said to me, like, if he would have said it the way it's presented in the film, he would have stepped in and said, well, wait a minute. Matt, I think you misspoke there. And so, again, I don't think it's a huge deal by any means. But for me, anyway, it just felt symptomatic of everything these days when it comes to the old quarterback, right? Like, there's always got to be some complicating factor. And that was this one. And again, I know that a lot of people are watching it, and I'm eager to hear what more of them think of it. But this was, you know, he's got more important things to worry about than this. But I felt like I had to ask about it just to clear the air.
Josh, is that good enough for you? Because Josh is one of the conspiracy theorists who believes that Rodgers.
I think what I'm talking about.
I think if we apply Occam's razor, and the correct assumption is the one where you have to make the least amount of assumptions. I think in this case, the least amount of assumptions is made as it's an intentional editing as opposed to accidentally.
No, the easiest thing is someone made a mistake.
No,
because that's Occam's razor.
Here's what happened.
Misusing Occam's razor.
It is not. I'm not misusing it. I'm not misusing it. The fewest amount of assumptions. I have to believe that, one, this was incorrectly edited. Two, it was edited against the person he dislikes maybe the most on earth. And three, no one else saw it or commented on the fact that it was incorrect. So no one watched it after and noticed it there. Aaron Rodgers didn't see this before it was sent to Netflix. Or I'm supposed to believe that, hey, maybe they wanted to say something about the guy they don't like, and they wanted to purposely obfuscate that.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're literally doing the opposite. But that's just me. And I know you're not a big fan of since I haven't watched it yet, does he get like an executive producer credit at the end of the credits? Like, I don't know what is involved. Like, among the assumptions you're making there, Occam DiMaggio, is that Rodgers had like final edit and like went over it and paid that close of attention to it. And again, maybe he did. I don't know that.
I mean, he let the people into his house. They traveled with him everywhere. Aaron Rodgers wasn't involved with the editing process?
Yeah,
process be going on like
during the season?
Exactly. As a guy who says he's tortured by perfectionism, he let a documentary on his life that he let them follow around for months go without him having a piece to say about it?
Good point.
Well, I'm sure he made everything that was about him accurate, right? I mean, whatever. Yeah, you want to edit that stuff about Jordan, that's fine. Just do whatever.
Jason, you know him probably the best of anybody. What do you think's going to happen at the end of the year? Is he going to come back? Is he going to retire? Will he be on another team? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me he's not going to retire. You know, it's amazing to me that we're having this conversation because after the whole Favre thing, I mean, thinking back to the times that we would do the radio show and then we'd be done, like we would talk about how, you know, he would say, I'm not playing past 36. I got too many other things I want to do with my life. I'm not doing it. And of course, now here we are, he's 41. He's still playing. I'm not going to do this wishy-washy, am I retiring, am I not thing like Favre did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does now too, right? So it's amazing that has happened. And all the times that he said, I'm not going to be like that guy.
He's like that
The
guy.
Only way he wasn't like that guy, frankly, was that he treated Jordan Love far better than Favre treated him. Mm-hmm. And my theory on that, based on what I have told you guys again and again and again those first couple of years, is that he didn't think Jordan Love was a threat, as opposed to Brett knowing Aaron was a threat, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to be kind to Matt Flynn, who you don't think is going to take your job, or Scott Tolzien, or the litany of backups that have gone through. And if you don't think that Jordan Love is any good, you can give him all your secrets and do all those things and be a good guy to him because, you know, you're not really threatened by him. Now, that's not fair to him. He might have been that way even if Jordan had come in and looked fantastic, but he definitely didn't those first couple of years. So, again, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has enigma fatigue. Maybe it's just me because I've been asked so much about it. But I will give Rodgers this. To maximize the conversation in Wisconsin, it was released during the perfect week to do it because they're 14.5-point favorites against a bad Saints team, and there's not a whole lot of sexy topics to talk about with the Saints other than that, like, Lucas Patrick and MVS play for them.
Quickly, last thing on Enigma, and it's just more of a statement. Aaron Rodgers on IMDb.com, not listed with an executive producer credit.
Okay.
So he is not listed as an EP in any way. So let's go ahead and talk about Jordan Love, because Matt LaFleur yesterday, Jason, said that he thought that Jordan is playing the best ball of his career. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, do you?
I mean, I think it's equal to. I don't know if it's better than what he did over the last eight games last year.
Yep, totally agree. Statistically, it's slightly better in these five games than it was in those eight games. We'll see what he does to close out the regular season. But I thought that was a little bit of hyperbole. And frankly, part of it is that he's being asked to do less, right, than he was last year, I thought. You know, what has he thrown? 8 touchdowns over the last five games. There's been games where he's only thrown like 20 passes. Like, I just don't think that the burden on him is quite the same as it was. And look, Aaron Jones had 100-yard games in each of the last five games last season. So that was a successful running game was part of the equation then too. But it just feels to me like at best it's the same level, which, by the way, is a really high level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, like statistically and everything else. So I'm not downgrading him by any means. But, yeah, I didn't know if I necessarily agreed with that when I heard him say it. When I was sitting, now granted, I was sitting in the back row because I came in and I'm scarred now from him embarrassing me in all in good fun for coming in late. The roads were slick. And so I walk in and he's walking in. So do I go, I have that momentary, do I go to my regular seat? Nope, I'm going to sit right here. And I could tell he was looking at me like, what the hell are you doing?
Suddenly it became musical chairs and you just had to find an open chair.
Yeah, I just didn't want to embarrass myself, which I don't need any help doing.
To your point quickly, Jason, he has not thrown 30 passes since the bye. He has not thrown 30 passes in a game since the bye.
Yeah, which is great, by the way, for their offense, right? Mm-hmm. That they're able to be productive, and he doesn't have to carry that kind of burden. So, again, he's playing great. Is it the best ball he's played? I'm not quite willing to say that, but I will say that he has made some ridiculous throws, right? Couple of them to Watson each of the last 2 weeks, like the kind of throws that, again, remind me, this is the same guy that I used to say, I haven't seen enough wow throws from him. And now that is definitely not a problem.
Jason Walker, Jair Musgrave, who's playing, who's not?
Walker's not playing. Bullard's not playing, I don't think. I mean, maybe he'll practice today, I guess, but I doubt it. Anytime LaFleur calls a guy week to week, you know he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't – Walker ain't playing. I mean, we even – you know, without him flat out saying it, the fact that the conversation yesterday turned to could Cooper just go in and play the mic and fill in for him while he's out, and the fact that LaFleur engaged in that discussion tells you that they're trying to figure out who they're going to play at mic instead of him, which I – think will be either Eric Wilson or Isaiah McDuffie. I don't know what to think about Jair. He complimented my hoodie yesterday. He did not give any insight into what's going on with him in terms of his availability. So that's your guess is as good as mine there. And I have to think, based on what John Dunn, the tight ends coach, said to us yesterday, that Musgrave is at least another week away, if not two.
That put him right up against decision time, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, they could always activate him
and then
have him be inactive for games, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they have some options there, but, you know, it was interesting because John Dunn, who, in fairness, you know, and I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way, but his press availability is with us. He doesn't usually give us a whole lot. You know, the tight, you know, those tight ends coaches.
Yeah, we're a different
breed. Remember what Sherman was like. Yeah, you know, Andy Reid, until he became a quarterback's coach, then he was a much better talker. But he usually doesn't give us much. And he went pretty in-depth into the process that Musgrave's going through trying to get back all his different skill sets and fundamentals. And to me, that was a red flag of he's nowhere near being ready after being out for more than 2 months.
Jason, we always appreciate the time, buddy. We will talk to you, well, these boys will talk to you on Tuesday.
Sure will.
I look forward to it, Occam.
Also, I wanted to add here quickly, Michael Jordan not listed as an executive producer of The Last Dance, nor was Martha in the Martha documentary, despite both of them being painted in extremely positive lights throughout the entirety of both programs.
Let it go.
I appreciate you fighting to the death on your conspiracy theorist, not the simplest explanation, but trying to paint it as such. That's why you're the best, Big Cat. Thanks.
You got it, brother.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
See ya.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig Karmazin joins the conversation coming up next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at X Golf and American Family Field, because it is open year-round, not just open during the baseball season, even though it is inside American Family Field. It is beautiful, overlooks left field, and the space is just so unique. If you're looking to host some sort of corporate event, you need to start, and chances are the search will end if you just go to xgolfamfamfield.com. Book that corporate event there. They can set up different games on the Sims, but even if, you know, having a corporate event and not everybody's a golfer, it doesn't matter, because that's how cool the space is, with their full bar, with their full menu, and all the different options that they can give you. Find out more. It's easy. xgolfamfamfield.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, as he joins us each and every Friday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
Are you still celebrating the Bucks Cup Championship from earlier this week?
No. You got to celebrate. Chewy, what are we allowed to celebrate for? Like one night, the next day? Or
one day. One night.
Aaron Rodgers said they didn't have a real Super Bowl party after they won, and he was just like on a bus.
What? For real?
Yeah.
Kind of seems the same thing for you guys.
No,
though.
We had a great party.
You guys just didn't have anything in the locker room.
Correct. There was no champagne. They had to. We had a party after we lost. I mean, it sucked, but still had a party after we lost.
I think he was intimating they had a party, but it just like wasn't that cool. And he was just like,
no, ours was super cool.
Thinking about like what was like next in life.
Yeah. Tommy Thompson was there. No, it was great. Great party. But then we wanted to get out to our own parties, which...
Wait, the governor was at your Super Bowl party?
Yeah. Yeah. Called me Mike.
But that's not like... But that doesn't make it seem cool. I mean, Tommy Thompson's cool like by governor standards, but it's not like, oh, yeah, there's these actresses and models and like the governor. Like, I don't know. That's not like...
It was good. The band was cool great. Party. They came in. I don't know why the Saints were marching in, but it was like a... It was like Grambling's band.
Okay.
You know, Dan. I thought it was awesome. Okay. I had a wonderful time. Craig, have the Bucks weathered the storm? Are they? Yeah, and the thing that surprised me, Craig, is listening to Giannis after they won the cup, is I sat there and I'm like, wow, he could tell he wants to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell.
Dude, he was so focused.
Yeah.
Like, he was ready for that statement after it. I mean, it shows you his mentality, but... Absolutely has weathered the storm. And we saw the Celtics lose last night to the Bulls. Like, I mean, people are going to lose games, and the Bucks will lose games the rest of the season to teams they should beat. But I think it was just so good to see them beat an absolutely elite team. And they had beaten the Rockets at home, but to go on a neutral court and play that way against the Thunder, who missed a lot of shots. But, I mean, it was impressive, and seeing them rattle off 13-16 has been amazing to see.
It just seems like to me as well, him and Dame have figured out how to play off of one another. And I don't know if that's just having, you know, a coach like Doc with them the entire offseason and in a training camp and into the season. They just feel like they can play off of each other better than they were able to last year.
I think they're playing better together. I think Chris coming back and being able to be there is still going to add something to it. But I actually think it's more just Dame feeling comfortable. I think it's a combination. You know, as Dame feels comfortable and as he and Giannis get more reps together, like, they're going to be better in game 50 than game 30 and better in game 70 than game 50, right? Like, the old, like, Chimura and Favre, just they don't even need plays. They just, like, can scratch it out in the huddle. Like, there's definitely something to that.
Craig, power rank these four teams and take everything into account. You can take injuries. You can take anything you want. Philadelphia, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota.
Okay, I guess we're going football here. But
you thought he was going to name NBA teams, didn't you? That's on you. You should know better than anyone.
It's December.
I was about
what
to
are
say,
we doing?
Craig, you should have known better. He was going to pivot. He got one NBA question, and he was pivoting to the NFL as quickly as possible.
And I thought we should, but once he said Philadelphia, I thought it could go either way. So, God, that's so good. It's so good coming off last week, too, when Philadelphia played so well. I mean, I think, and you said I could rank it on anything. I'm going to go Vikings 4. I'm going to go, yes.
Why? Just tell me why. I mean, yes, you beat Seattle. Good win, tough place.
I'm going that.
How do I say
number
this?
Because
Seattle's average. Because Seattle's average. Okay, yes, it was a
Jordan
good win,
Love.
But how? Craig, they're 12-2, and
the
you
Packers,
can't say Sam Darnold's going to do this.
Why can't you say that?
All right, do your list. Do your list. Do your list.
Yeah. Until Sam Darnold does it, I don't believe it to the degree that I believe Jordan Love, because Jordan Love went to Dallas and put up a 157 quarterback rating.
But hold on. What did you just say to me 5 minutes ago?
I thought we were letting him finish the list.
You're only as good as your last game, or you get to celebrate. That season is gone. It's over. It means nothing. This is a totally different team. But I did say you could base it upon anything you want. So go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, so then I am going with the Packers 3.
All right.
I'm going with the – it's so hard. I'm going with the
– it's not that hard.
I'm going with the Eagles 1 and the Lions 2. Right?
Okay, yeah, that may – I mean, you can only have so many entries. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's unbelievable.
But even before this last week, Gabe, where they lost – well, Montgomery, I guess, is coming back now, so he'll be ready for the playoffs, but they're D linemen. I had Philly. Have you watched Philly? Have you watched Philly?
I've watched Philly a lot, and to me, I still needed to see them be able to do a little bit more in the passing game, and I think now I'm convinced that that's there because I've liked their defense. Obviously, their running game's been great, and now, to me, the passing game's at a place where it needs to be. So that's where I put Philly ahead of Detroit.
Their
now.
Defense is at a different level. Would you say that?
They are the most complete team in the NFL.
I agree.
The numbers also bear out that they are the best defense
in
the league.
It's a different deal. It's a different deal.
I don't know if there's good defenses in the NFL, because, like, isn't Denver supposed to be, like, a pretty good defense?
Going into last night, yes, they were. I'm guessing some of those numbers are going to decline on them, but they still lead the league in sacks.
But you're saying going into last night, but Jameis Winston also put up 450 yards against them on Monday Night Football like 2 weeks ago. Like, my point is, like, I don't know that any of these defenses, like, are holding up the way they were in the first,
man,
like, five, 6 weeks
though.
Of the season.
They look good. They get pressure with four. Their back defensive backfield is solid. DeGene is solid. They're
Say Cooper DeGene in the slot. That I think when you think that actually is part of what I was thinking about with Amon-Ra St. Brown and how good he is in the slot.
Like, yeah.
Having a weapon like that of a guy who can cover slot receivers is like a crazy thing in the NFL these days.
Was that a swing and a miss for Goody? They could have took him. He was there.
He was there in the first round.
We thought he was going to take him.
And he ended up taking Jordan Morgan instead. I mean, well, we got to wait and see because Jordan Morgan could end up playing a big role in the Packers offensive line.
He gets an incomplete this year?
Yeah, of course.
I hate when GMs don't take football players. It just drives me nuts. You know what I mean? Like Micah Hyde, and I love Ted to death, but that was a dumb move.
Not to bring him back.
He's a football player. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a football. Cooper DeGene is kind of that same mold. He's a football player. I don't know. Would have been nice to have, though.
Yeah, especially considering everything Jair has been going through.
I wonder if they didn't want the distraction, like, you know, obviously, like what Branch Rickey had to deal with Jackie Robinson and everything. So you understand why.
Who's Branch Rickey?
Draft a player like Cooper DeGene. It's a big deal.
Is that a candy?
Branch Rickey?
Yeah.
What is Branch Rickey?
They're cherry suckers.
I thought it was. I know Branch. They make candy corns.
Isn't that Brock?
Yeah, it's Brock. Maybe I should just stop talking.
You're on fire today, man.
Craig, how do you see this game playing out? Craig, how's this game going to play out?
I mean, it's been tough. Obviously, both teams have not been able to win for a while, and they're both expected to be good teams. They're both Champions League teams. You don't know if they're going to start Watkins or Duran at home, but with Villa at home,
You said
I'm
this
in the
game.
UK right now.
I want to ask you another question.
Wait,
sorry.
Really? Whoa, hold on. You're in the UK?
Yes.
Really?
Here for a big match.
I assumed that because, I mean, again, with all the dealings we have at Good Karma Brands with ESPN, I just assumed with this being the first ever college football playoff with 12 teams, you're going to be attending one of the four games this weekend. But you're in the UK for a soccer match?
I'm here for a proper football match. It'll be my first time going to Villa Park to see Aston Villa host Manchester City, but I will be going to the CFP Championship, but not one of these four on campus.
I'm a little jealous.
Which is so great by college football doing this, but college football got a little too big for its britches, don't you think, Chewy? Like trying to put three of their games up against NFL Saturday, like you know the NFL is going to have this Saturday. Just like find
No. I will watch college football all day long. Probably won't even watch any professional football.
So here's the problem, Craig, that they're running into. Having these games now, campuses are empty. Like, they're having trouble selling out these games because the kids aren't around. And if you're somebody who goes to Ohio State, but you live however far
away...
My
daughter gave her tickets away to a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, because she had to fly back home.
Correct.
And you can't play... I mean, especially a team like Ohio State, you're assuming going in that they were going to get a bye and not have an on-campus game. Yeah. They're having trouble. I'm curious what the atmosphere in these stadiums is going to actually be like because they've had trouble selling the games out.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I love this 12-team thing.
I do too.
I love being on campus.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, you'll hear TV numbers won't be as good as expected, I would think, because they went against NFL games. But this is, it's a great concept.
And yeah, especially
I would love to see Alabama in it. I think Alabama going on the road, like, you know, you needed like Alabama going to Boise State or something like that would have been so cool. That's why like Alabama as a 12 seed would have been awesome. But everything else about this is great.
Craig, real quick, what was your take on the Gottlieb drama?
Oh, wait, we're not going to talk about Enigma at all.
Well, I've got a question. I've got a question about Enigma. Don't worry.
Wait, so Gottlieb.
We're beat that down already.
Are we talking about the Schefter Gottlieb? Which Gottlieb drama are we talking about?
Well, and
either
nobody
or,
you.
Dealer's choice.
Yeah.
Dealer's choice.
I mean, I just think, you know, I Doug is such a competitive dude, right? Like to get to the level that he did as a player and to accomplish what he's done as a broadcaster, like he's impressive in so many ways. I just don't understand when you are coaching and when you're looking for every possible edge, how you would have the ability to have so many distractions. Like, that to me just is so surprising, knowing how competitive he is and how accomplished he is as a result of that competitiveness. So to me, this whole idea of him going back to coaching was not surprising. But if a team couldn't compensate him to be able to focus on it completely, I'm just surprised he would have done it.
Craig Armisen joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I have not been watching Enigma. I've seen enough of the clips online, and some people have sent me some screen grabs.
You're not watching Enigma?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I've seen it all. I've lived it all. And apparently you can't trust the way they edit it, because they're trying to change history in it as well.
Wait,
can't be trusted.
Wait, what do you mean you lived it all? Like, you went to Costa Rica with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, no, I've seen and heard
You've
all the different things he's...
And you know what it's like to sit through
I've heard him talk about all of this. Like, there's nothing new in this in Enigma that I am going to learn about Aaron Rodgers that I didn't already know.
That is, you know what? That's a really good attitude. I'm going to not watch something and then say there's no chance I could have learned something had I watched it. Because I know from not watching it that I could not have learned something from watching it.
Well, I've already that's why I had Joshy watch it. Joshy's been paying attention, and there's nothing that he learned. So I was just going to ask if you had a cameo appearance, because I've seen some teammates that made a cameo appearance, because obviously Aaron used to be involved here at ESPN Milwaukee. Are there any Craig Carmisen cameo appearances in this thing? Then maybe I'd watch. If I knew Craig Carmisen was in it, then I'd tune it.
I'm 2.5 episodes in. I have not seen any appearances. I do not expect to see myself in it. But I think it's fascinating. Like, how do you not want to understand him better?
Because I don't care.
Because I don't think he actually wants me to understand him better.
Then why do you think he would do this movie?
Because he thought this was going to be some sort of grand triumph as the Jets were marching toward the playoffs for the first time in about 15 years. And this release would just kind of hype that up continuously. Like, he's somebody, Craig, he's just somebody, again, he did it this week, 2 weeks ago, the thing he's got going on.
He did something wrong to you, huh?
Well, no, the thing he's doing with Ryan Clark, like, I don't like him going on an ESPN platform saying that old washed-up athletes are on ESPN spousing BS, which is what he does each and every week on the Pat McAfee show. And he's just, he just hypocrites his way through the McAfee show to the point where I don't care about him anymore. I don't. Like, I don't want to try to understand him better.
Seems like you do care about him. Seems like there's some unresolved issues.
Maybe if I was secretly watching Enigma, maybe
incorrect.
I would care. If Enigma didn't come up, I would barely think about Aaron Rodgers anymore. Like, it wouldn't cross my mind. Yeah.
So how did you feel about Brett Favre at the same stage when he was playing for the Saints?
Yep.
And playing against the Saints, for pretty much an NFC championship. Like, were you feeling differently because he was having success? Or were you happy for him? How are you feeling about Brett Favre at this same part of the process?
So when Brett initially left, I thought that I could root for Brett when he was with the Jets. Like, I thought, okay, he's gone. You know, I wish he could have stayed here, but he's gone. He's with the Jets. I can root for him. I watched the first game he played. I remember it. He played against the Dolphins, threw a couple touchdown passes, and they were just like, pull him out of your behind, Brett Favre touchdown passes. Like, incredible plays. And I found myself, like, getting angry that he wasn't a Packer anymore. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't watch him. I can't root for him. And then when he pulled the stuff that he did with Detroit, you know, trying to give them an edge over the Packers, and then when he orchestrated his way to Minnesota, I celebrated him throwing that interception against the Saints like the Packers won that game. When he threw that interception, I could have not been more happy that the Vikings were not going to go to a Super Bowl.
So... And I totally agree. And I don't expect people to want to root for Aaron Rodgers. But to me, I think it brings you back, and it just allows you to understand his perspective. And I feel like, why wouldn't you at least want to understand the perspective of someone who...
Here's my other issue, Craig, because he's obviously heavily involved in this. So it's a slanted narrative. This isn't like a documentary in the truest sense of the form. Like, you're getting very much just one side
instead
of the actual entire picture.
Telling his story.
I think
I think it's
Yeah, but him telling his story is always going to be an incomplete story.
But I think
just like MJ telling his story in The Last Dance was an incomplete story.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you rather see a documentary on what went on when the Packers were getting rid of him and he flew up on a plane? And wouldn't you like to know that whole story?
With Brett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With him and McCarthy screaming at one another in his office for hours after that. What was that, family night?
Family night.
And then the helicopters following over to Ted's house, I believe. Because Frankie was there.
Yeah.
I know what happened. I don't want to wreck
weren't like
the movie.
Wasn't like Fox News, like Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah,
Greta was a star of ESPN Milwaukee at one point.
Yeah,
yeah. That is briefly covered in Enigma, so you'll see a little of that, but not the detail that Frankie has.
But I would love
Frankie's got the you want the Frankie documentary.
If I haven't seen it, Craig, but I'm going to make an assumption here. Is there anybody who has said bad things about Aaron during this documentary?
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. When people are saying bad things about Aaron in the documentary, it's not like them being interviewed and they're saying bad things, because the people who are interviewed only say good things.
Exactly.
But the bad things are all being said by all the clips from TV shows of people saying all the bad things.
Or they take, you know, the article from Kevin Van Valkenburg and try to turn it into a fake newspaper article. Like, I've seen all the clips online. Like, it's an incomplete story, and that's going to be my biggest problem with Enigma. It's not an actual documentary where you're getting the full picture. You're getting a very small piece of the picture that Aaron Rodgers is allowing us to.
Right, but every day you give the version on this show of your opinions in the way you see the world of sports.
Yes, yeah, but we've got Jen here, we've got Chewy here, we've got Joshy here. It's coming from different, you know, perspectives, and we can have fun and talk about it, where this is coming from one perspective, and because Aaron is so heavily involved, another perspective's not going to be allowed to be in.
Correct. But, I mean, I guess to me, it's still interesting enough to see and hear that perspective for a guy who really dominated our sports landscape. I mean, we started by talking about the Bucks today. Let's remember, when the Bucks were leading the charge into the Eastern Conference Finals and then the NBA Finals in 2021, the biggest story in Wisconsin sports for a portion of that time was, is Aaron Rodgers going to the San Francisco 49ers, when the guy was coming off an MVP and ended up putting up another MVP award? That's how big this guy was to our sports landscape for over a decade.
I don't want to deny, and I will say, when he is done and he comes back to Green Bay, Craig, I don't know why I keep trying to call you Jason. I will celebrate.
He does talk about Jason by name in the documentary.
I will celebrate his legacy whenever he comes back to Green Bay and they put his name on the facade, when they retire his number, whenever he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and whenever he goes into the Packers Hall of Fame. I will celebrate all of that. But I guess I'm tired of all the personal drama that he creates for himself and has to paint himself in the corner as a victim. I don't have any interest in that anymore.
Yeah, and I'm with you, like, when it comes to, like, you said the Ryan Clark and the McAfee and all that, like, that's not that interesting to me. But I think, you know, anytime someone who's a current athlete gets as vulnerable as he does by showing the behind the scenes, to me, that's always interesting. So, and the fact that it happens to be one of the best players in the NFL, and the connection to our company over the years and to the Green Bay Packers, that's to me why Enigma, to me, was worth the watch.
Well, one of the former best players in the NFL.
Yep. He is 21st in QBR. Jordan Love is 7th this year in QBR. And that's with all the interceptions Jordan Love has thrown. He is still the 7th best, and QBR is what I use. I don't use passer rating, because QBR, they look at every single throw, and Jordan Love is 7th in the NFL, which is really impressive.
Craig, always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Craig Karmazin joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let me tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. It's the year-end reduction sales event at Ewald Automotive Group. Get rates as low as 4.9% on their best used cars and make no payments for 90 days. 4.9%, no payments till March 2025 on over 600 vehicles at 10 Ewald Automotive Group locations. Don't wait to get a better rate during the year-end rate reduction sales event. So get to your nearest Ewald location today. And with Ewald, it's always easy. Just go to ewaldauto.com.